Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm your host, Linda Feinholz, Dean and founder of the Breakthrough Academy at BreakthroughByDesign.com, calling in, as I do each week, from Los Angeles for Breakthrough Directions on Blog Talk Radio. And we've got a fantastic show this week. I am so delighted by the guests that I have. You know, one of the coolest things about all the entrepreneurs I get to hang out with is I get to meet other really great entrepreneurs, and that's precisely how I got to know Ann Samoilov, and I'm so delighted to have her with me today. Ann teaches small business owners how to launch their ideas, whether big or small, whether programs or products. It could be side projects or businesses, but to do it with confidence and finesse. Her real focus on an ongoing basis is being a full-time mom, and she's figured out how to combine that business and launching as a strategist for small business owners and online entrepreneurs. And I'm so looking forward to speaking with her and bringing her to everyone today to have this conversation around how to help visionaries simplify the steps it takes to get their ideas out into the world. So, Ann, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much. That was a great intro. I love that. I was like smiling through the whole thing. I'm like, yay.
Isn't that the best when we get a reflection of ourselves back?
Yes, it is. And, of course, I was also smiling because I'm jealous that you're in Los Angeles. So, and I'm in.
Okay, so tell everybody where you're calling in from.
I'm calling in from Seattle, and it is unusually dry today. And so I'm thankful for that, but it's still not L.A.
Yeah. We live in such interesting times right now that there are no seasons happening in the United States at the moment. Everything is so confounded.
Yep, I totally agree. Except my mother back east might not agree with that with the amount of snow they've received.
Yeah.
But we're fine here on the West Coast. We're just either getting rain or not, or just lack of seasons, like you said.
Exactly. So, you know, there's so much that I'd love to bring into today's conversation. And you know where I'd love to start? I'd love to start with what it is to be a full-time mom and also building a business. So I would love if you would share your journey with our listeners so they get an understanding of the choices you've made along the ways that have you here today.
Yeah. First of all, being a mom, and I think any mom who actually works, ends up working or chooses that, it's not easy because there's an internal struggle with, you know, wanting to be with your children as much as possible. And there's also the struggle of, you know, the family not understanding that you might have a meeting at, you know, directly at the top of the hour at 9 a.m. and they have to adjust as well. So I find that, you know, I started out as a mom thinking that I was going to have it all together, honestly. And it took me two and a half years to really be like, okay, I think I can actually handle something like a job. And I love this whole online kind of scene. And I can apply everything that I've done in the past in animation and film production. I can just take it all online. And I was right, actually. Finding this online business world is really what helped me get back to normal, in a sense, myself. And but it hasn't been without a lot of struggle. I mean, I could share with you so many different stories of, first of all, there's like the whole having a business, having it online. Having a business is one thing because you might go to your office and you might, you know, have employees and whatnot. But if you're doing your business at home, it's a struggle of this perception with your family. They're not real. They're like, what are you even doing? Your kid doesn't realize why are you on like the computer when I'm watching? Can't you come in here and play Legos and whatever? So there's always like this back and forth struggle to kind of keep balance, to make sure that I set boundaries for myself. I'm all over the place right now with this whole idea of being a mom and and running a business, but that's how it is in my head all day long. You know,
you're sharing some real truths that I think we all have to grapple with. 20 years ago, entrepreneurship was very bricks and mortar. It's really been this profound sort of logarithmic upswing of the volume of businesses that are now being not only using online for marketing purposes, but literally outright products, programs, service delivery, as well as the management of the business and everything else. And so what I'm finding with the small business owners I'm working with the entrepreneurs I'm working with is, you know, where my conversation 10 years ago would have been, you must have an online presence, and it was from a marketing perspective. Now it's a fundamental business design element that it's affecting in so many ways. And in particular, the thing that you just shared that is so core, which is if you're running a home-based business, which is an online business, you're using the same platform that is used for entertainment, for your kids to do their education or their entertainment on. It doesn't look like work. And how on earth do we educate our kids to understand that there are boundaries between play, entertainment, sending an email to a friend, you know, checking in on Facebook versus actually sitting and devotedly using that same tool for work purposes?
Yeah, no, it's really true. I mean, I actually think it's my goal is always to really try, like, when she's around, I don't want her to think that I'm working all the time. That's one thing. I don't want her to be like, wow, mommy's always on the computer working. Like, even my husband doesn't know if I'm just, like, sitting on Facebook and just chatting with friends. He's like, Mila, leave mommy alone because she's working. And I'm like, actually, I'm not, Dennis. But there is that. It is difficult to have your 6-year-old, your 5-year-old or less understand that when you're not working and you are. So what I've done is I really try to get the bulk of my work done before she gets home from school, and that doesn't leave me a ton of time. But I do now try to outright say, hey, I'm not working right now, so don't worry about it. Mommy's just watching something, or you know, just making sure my husband knows work or not work. And I do try to turn things off at a certain hour, unless I'm in the middle of a launch or something like that.
Right.
So I think it's up to me.
Do you have a designated work area where when you're in that area, it's sort of the physical declaration that you're at work?
You know, that would be a great idea. But, like, I just looked around. I'm like, I'm in my kitchen. There's this really great tall table that I can either stand at, kind of like one of those cafe tables.
Yeah.
And I find myself here on some days, but I do have an office. But that definitely, there is no physical boundary like that. Because if my daughter's here, you know, I'm here in kind of the same-ish room. And for me, it's a good reminder. It all has to start with me. It all has to start with me, you know, creating more of those boundaries for myself and saying, okay, I'm finished work by 3 today. Or Mila can stay at her, and I'm talking about my daughter Mila, like as if you guys know her, but you know, she can stay at school. If I need to have extra time to work, then I leave her at the after-school kind of program that they have. But I think that's what I need to do is I have 2 places I work, but when she's home, I really try not to. And it's still a struggle, and I've been doing this now for, like, you know, almost 4 years online.
Sure. Yeah. So let's roll time back. What was your early career that you were, quote, literally working for others rather than the work that you're doing now?
Well, I was in Los Angeles 10 years. Maybe I always stick to 10 years, but it's actually more. 10 years-ish in visual effects and animation for TV, film, video games, commercials, things like that in various studios in Los Angeles, and worked in production, which means anything from a project manager up to the producer. And when I left that world, I was running one of the companies and Yeah, well, I was running one of the companies. So that was my world. I mean, it was everything from, you know, my very first production job was with Steven Spielberg's company when they were just starting DreamWorks.
Very cool.
So it goes from those kinds of things, working on pretty well-known TV and film projects, to then I worked for a huge video game company that's based out of Seoul, Korea. And that was my last day in-person job. But I didn't actually stop there as far as working for someone. I just switched my field for a while and worked for like 4 years as a Pilates instructor. And that was just because I was over the whole scene of producing other people's ideas and not really having any creative input into what was happening. Besides being an Excel sheet spreadsheet watcher or a schedule watcher. And I definitely don't like that as my main role.
Well, it's interesting, so. Isn't it? Until you live inside the system and the series of activities it takes to get business done, you don't know what it is you love doing and what it is you might be good at, but you really don't want to spend your time doing.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is actually, as I was just saying that, I'm like, huh. Well, I kind of do that now on a bigger scale for people. And I do have one client that, even though I don't function in that way in my business, as far as like being like the clock watcher, making sure everybody's, I have that in me, and I always need one client that's what I do for them, because it kind of does keep me grounded. As much as I got burned out from that whole managing pieces, managing moving parts, and that's really what my role was, I rebelled from it, but then I kind of came back to it because it does center and ground me. And that's why when I got a day job with Laura Roeder online, that's why I stayed with her so long, I think, because of that very fact. So I was hating project management, and then I realized, I'm like, oh, I can't get away from it, because it kind of makes me calm in a weird way.
Yet it's very instructive for everyone who's listening. I find it so valuable to be able to share stories about, you know, what's the dirt under our nails? What is it that we know how to do on a muscle level? And, you know, I'll share, you know, for myself, when I travel internationally, I used to carry 10 pounds of camera equipment, you know, camera backs with different kinds of film in them and all sizes of lenses and everything. And I mean, literally, you know, it was the 10-pound bag on our shoulder. And take really fabulous photos. And then when I would come home, the camera would go up on a shelf, and people would say, you take such amazing photos. Why don't you take your camera out on the weekends and everything? And I was like, you know what? For me, there's a time and a place for doing photography. It feeds a need right. in certain places. I don't have to do photography day in, day out, all day, all week, all month, mm-hmm. all year. And there's other aspects to ourselves that, in the same way that you were talking about, having a skill, having a talent for really understanding what the numbers need to look like, how to use them to manage schedules, manage costs, and so on. It doesn't mean you want to do it 40, 60, 80 hours a week, and yet there's part of your muscles that actually enjoy being used that way.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is something that I go back and forth on all the time, and that's because obviously, not obviously, but I do get asked a lot to help people manage their launches, and I have to be really like, I have to be so into that person and what they do in order to say yes now that I'm no longer with Laura. Because that's exactly what it's like for me. It's like there's a time and a place, and even though it grounds me, I also get bitter really quickly if I'm not into the project.
Right.
And I get really antsy, and I just want to, like, run away, or I get stressed out more easily. So, you know, programs, I've been really fortunate because all of the stuff that I did with Laura, I love. I came in as a customer, a happy customer. I joined her after I'd already been a customer. So joined her.
I love it. So, you know, for listeners who may not be familiar with her, let's share a bit about Laura and what it was that she birthed in the world and that you were helping her with.
Laura Roeder is, you know, in the simplest sense, she teaches people how to use social media to grow their businesses. But she does it in a, and she talks about other ways of becoming like the well-known expert in your field. So she has a few different bigger programs, but she has a, she even has like a membership area that's called Social Media Marketer. So her programs are all online training programs. And I took one of them, which was a Twitter training, in early 2010 or something, like I think it was early 2010. And then, so I was on her list, and I got her email when she sent an email calling for a project manager. Of course, at the time, she was asking for an intern, but something about what she was asking for, I'm like, she doesn't need an intern. She needs a project manager. So I immediately knew that I had something to learn from her, was definitely interested in this whole online space. And wanted to know how she put her programs together. So we really just had a personal connection, and we're still friends. I think that's why things worked well for so long. So she brought me in as first the project manager, and then when I left, I was by the time that I left 3 years later, I was doing operations and helping her figure out the strategy for the company and really running it next to her, running the company next to her. So.
And there's nothing quite like learning from being in the guts of a new business model, because at that stage,
oh my
gosh, really was
yeah.
still a very early idea to be really driving an entire business. Not only that, a business that was about the online world, but literally was an online business.
Yeah, no, it definitely evolved over the time that I was there. And I, when you're with a successful business, whether it's brick and mortar, online or not, if you're in a role of leadership, and let's say you have this idea in the back of your head that someday you want to start something, well, the change for me happened to, well, I know what it takes to run a successful business, so why don't I just do those same things for myself instead of acting like it's a whole new thing, you know, just do what I do every single day, but for myself. That's kind of what kind of made me able to make the decision to leave because, you know, there was nothing magical that was going on behind the scenes. We were just doing the work, you know, that it took to keep the business running forward. We knew what to do every single day. And so that was something actually that I talked about with one of the other women I worked with. They're like, wow, isn't that funny? We don't even stop for a second with fear or discomfort that we're not doing something right or we're not ready. We just do the right things. Like, why aren't we doing that for ourselves, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's an interesting tipping point, isn't it? When you decide, you can see the inkling of what you'd want to do for your own business.
Yeah, yeah. But it's hard getting there. It's hard even when you realize that, you still are thinking, well, you know, you kind of stack up all the reasons why maybe it won't work. But then, you know, for me, I know that over the late 2012 and early 2013, I was really starting to kind of realize that I couldn't give as much to both companies, my own and hers. Like, there had to be a breaking point. First of all, I only had so many hours in the day. I'm a mom. My husband likes to see me once in a while, you know. and I hope he does. But, you know, I joke. But, you know, so I knew, I was starting to see it really clearly. Like, okay, I'm doing this full-time job, running this company, co-running the company. What is the potential for growth here for me? And I couldn't. And even if there was potential for growth, which there was, there definitely were discussions on how could I grow, even past where I was. And to me, that was the ceiling for me. I was at a ceiling where I wasn't sure how we were gonna. You know, I could see the whole landscape of the business and how many people were at the company, but I definitely couldn't see, like, well, where can I go from here? I know how much we're paying people. I know how much we make, you know, like, so I didn't feel like there was growth there for me just yet, and I wasn't willing to wait. And then I thought, well, I'm going to get to that next level and still be thinking about my own thing. That's what I kept coming back to as well. And And man, it took a while for me to just realize that if I wanted my business to grow, I couldn't be pushing another business full time like that.
Yeah, what a really sharp insight. So on a certain day at a certain time, the bell went off and you said, okay, I'm pretty certain I know what the business is I'm going to focus on that I'm calling my business. And at that point, what was your focus?
My focus was really fearless launching. Fearless launching the program that I created, because I had launched it 2 times. And then I knew it wasn't a fluke. I knew that I could keep enrolling. I could keep doing launches. But I knew how difficult those launches were for me, like I said, being full-time with Laura. And I think that my idea was create this and then create some other programs, like have a similar type of business that Laura does, maybe not the same, obviously not the same type of programs, but delivered the same way. And so that's what it was. The plan was not to just go off and manage other people's launches, because if I wanted to do that, I could just stay with Laura. I didn't
sure.
need to go elsewhere and just, you know, I could just stick with where I was. But the business really was selling an info product, selling info products and selling training and perhaps looking for bigger partnerships at that point.
Cool. I look forward, you know, we're going to dive into all those elements today. When you decided to focus on fearless launching, did you have a specific ideal target customer in mind at that point?
Yeah, when I was developing the course, I was really knee deep in 2 big communities online that were courses, that were online business courses. I knew what they were struggling with. I knew what they were talking about after the course was finished, what they needed, and these 2 courses really became my initial customer avatar for fearless launching, and I hate to say that I like created my avatar based on somebody else's avatar, but I really did, and that was the jumping off point. And then since then, the person has become slightly different, but they're all online entrepreneurs mostly, or they're small business owners, you know. And I've kind of stuck to that, and they're mostly women.
It's interesting. It is very interesting. I love what you just shared, which was the insight was that you first started with somebody else's avatar, because I will say there's absolutely no harm and no foul in identifying a marketplace that has an identity and saying, what's the additional service they're all hungry for that I can serve them? To me, it's a beautiful place to start.
Yeah. It was easy. It seemed very natural for me. And the one thing I didn't mention about fearless launching is I did bring the idea of doing a launching course the fall before I did it, the first launch. I brought it to Laura because, you know, I'm working with Laura. The program that I wanted to create was for her peeps, really. For that was one of the audiences. And she wasn't interested in doing that type of program because it didn't really mesh with the whole social media. She didn't want to go into launch training. She just said she didn't want to do that. So that to me was an open door for me to do it, you know, myself.
But I love this notion of, you know, on the one hand, bravo to Laura for having clarity about what she wanted her business focused on. It reminds me very much of Marsha Weider of Dream University. I don't know if you're familiar with Marsha.
No.
I was in conversation. She launched more than a decade ago. She had a life experience that the way she transformed herself, her world, her life, was by climbing in and getting very attuned to what her own dreams were. And then as she started sharing it with others, it was creating transformations in them, and she realized this is what she wanted to devote her life to. And so for many, many years now, her books, her programs, her courses, her gatherings, large workshop settings and everything are all tied to this notion of getting clarity about what your own personal dreams are and then using them as the launch pad for what you create in business and in life. But what was very interesting is because opportunities came along, she kept building her organization and building its offerings from her standing at the front of the room delivering something in a small intimate setting to courses with other trainers and so on. And then one day she looked up and said, we've actually evolved into a training company, and I don't want to be a training company.
Interesting.
And so she then, by choice, started dismantling and reorganizing her company to get her immediate company back to what it is she wanted to be doing. And I think it's a very natural path for entrepreneurs and creatives and visionaries to take, which is we go exploring, we try things on, and then after we've tried them on, we sort of say, does it fit? Do I want to keep doing it? Do I want to reshape the vision of my business to incorporate this? Or, in fact, do I not want to include it? And every time an entrepreneur says, I don't want to include that, but you have a hungry audience, well, there's a market opportunity for someone who does want to do that.
That's true. I mean, and, you know, actually, telling that story, I'm like, I'm one of those people who decides to change things. And sometimes I get that inkling that I may have that same inkling that she had one day and just think, how do I want to go forward with this? Because that's not exactly maybe what I wanted or what I intended. And I think that's like a whole other conversation about business evolution. And all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, I don't want to be teaching this thing
anymore. Well, it's interesting, especially in this online world, because I became very clear that I wanted to expand my business model from doing extremely intensive one-on-one consulting to companies where I was limited to working with 6 to 12 businesses a year. I wanted to make a bigger impact, and for me that meant I had to figure out how I would work, you know, what is called one-to-many, which that's what online technology is now enabling. And at the same time, it's, you know, I'm designing the Breakthrough Academy for a very specific customer avatar, somebody who likes to learn, likes having a sounding board, really wants to increase their own skillfulness and capabilities at being the leader of their business in the five core areas that I help them develop and help their business develop to the next level. And at the same time, there are certain areas that I don't want to be the expert in. I do not want to be an expert at helping businesses figure out the 27 ways they could get financing. So my strategic relationships are with people who have areas of specialization that I don't want to be a specialist in, but I want them to be available to be advisors to the people who I work with and so on. And that's what starts to build this really amazing network of strategic alliances and so on, the same way that you're building yours.
Totally. Yeah. I love that. I'm the same way. In fact, I take no greater pleasure than if someone comes to me and I can't help them, and my challenge is not to just say, no, I can't help you. I always like to say, no, I can't help you, but Let me introduce you to somebody who can. This person that I've worked with before. They can do this, this, and this for you. Even if they're potentially like kind of a competitor, like if I sense someone is better suited to be with learning or in whatever way, getting served by someone else, I love being able to pull out any number of people that I know who can help them.
And that's at the heart of everything we do, no matter what our exact configuration of our business is. It's trying to figure out who we serve and how we can best serve them. And sometimes it's by getting them the resources they need and not trying to be, what's the word I'm looking for, a light version of everything. So
That's right. That's right. Yeah. But I mean, I know exactly what you mean. Like, I'm not trying to teach anybody the technical step-by-step to set up their members area. I'm not that person. I will always pass off the actual physical setup of technical stuff, even though I can do it myself and I probably could explain it, explain anything related to what I'm doing, because I pretty much do all that myself, but there are definitely things that I don't want to do. So,
and that's the joy of what we do when we become entrepreneurs and business owners, is we get to make that decision over and over again. It might be something that it's a product or a program or a service we want to make available to our clients. Great. How do we staff that as an organization to be able to provide that? And or create the strategic alliance, the joint venture relationship with someone who, when they get out of bed, I'll go back to this whole area of, you know, business financing and managing the at a very detailed accounting level, accounting management of businesses and so on. When I roll out of bed in the morning, that isn't what warms, you know, that gives me a zest for life. But there are people who roll out of bed with a zest for working on that. That's who I want to have work with my clients and my students.
Yeah. You know, you were just saying something that, like, made me think of some of the people that I witness kind of, you know, in this whole launching scape. That launching landscape that I see people wanting to launch something so badly, and they're kind of not thinking about that moment when they wake up and what really will brighten their day, they're excited to do, and they kind of just like, people are talking like they need VAs. I'm going to be a VA or whatever, like, you know, something very specific. People need help with this. I better jump on that. Like, without any thought to the bigger kind of the bigger vision of how they want their life or their business or whatever to look like. I see a lot of people like that, just jumping on, in quotes, opportunities that they think they see, but that have no relevance to or connection to, like what you said, getting out of the bed in the morning and actually being excited to do what you do.
Right, because so, that having that excitement is what lets you weather the challenges.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So
oh my goodness.
Let's talk about fearless launching and helping visionaries. So, what are some examples of visionaries that that you are approached by, or you find yourself attracting, who are saying, "I've got this thing I want to launch"?
Yeah. Well, first of all, when I think of a visionary, I think of someone who's maybe doing something or who has done some sort of work or business activity offline, perhaps, that seems very straightforward. Like the person, like you were talking about photography, I take pictures of people maybe at their weddings. And then it's someone who wants to go beyond that and take it a step further, like, I love taking these pictures, but I really want to teach other people how I find that magic in those brides, you know, how I get them comfortable enough to show me why they love their new husband so much the day of their wedding or whatever. I always am excited by people who are willing to take like something that's kind of accepted, normal, like a job, and make it a bigger thing, almost like a movement, something that really teaches people how to, teaches people like this photographer who, there's actually several photographers in Fearless Launching, but there's one that I'm thinking about that she teaches people how to see the beauty in everyday, ordinary stuff in their life, because there is a value in that, whether you're a photographer or not, and being able to be present and being grateful for even like the little moments that you have. And I mean, I'm sure, you know, you can kind of, you probably understand this being a photographer, like seeing those little glints of light on things and how does that affect you as a person? Anyway, so that to me is a visionary, someone who has like a bigger vision for, you know, and there's a company here locally. They are a co-working space, really. They rent space to people to run their businesses. But the owner is much more, he has a vision for really making this a bigger community for entrepreneurs, for supporting them. He's always looking for new ways to bring in new support for these people who are either building something or are tech startups or are at some phase of their business. So he is creating something more that goes beyond just a co-working space.
The thing that you're pointing out is that you love working with people where they can actually speak what the heart of a matter is behind the face of the business. Like, what's the heart at the core of it?
Yep. Yeah. That's definitely that's definitely where I like to be most of the time. I mean, certainly visionaries is a, it can be a loose word and it's very subjective. So somebody else's vision or like description or definition of that will be different. But for me, I'm looking for those people. And there are a lot of them inside Fearless Launching, people who there are people who are in finance and accounting, people who are just professional speakers, people who are doing other things, but there's a bigger, more universal thing that they're trying to spread. It's a message, I guess.
Yeah, they're connected to, as you said, the mission or the message.
Mm-hmm.
They want to have a voice in the world.
Yeah.
Rather than
they have a strong belief. Yeah, they have a strong belief in something that they are so almost fiercely passionate about. And I'm finding each round is more passionate than the last. So I'm glad about that because that's who I want to be around. I want to be around those people who are like, this is my mission. I really just want to make this happen. And, you know, and it's not just about the money where, of course, everybody, you have to eat and you obviously want to launch things in general so that eventually it will lead to money or directly lead to money in your pocket. But that usually is not the primary driver for the people who come into Fearless
Launching. So when you're approached by people who say, I've got this idea, I've got this difference I want to make in the world, I want to make a bigger difference and so on, how do you guide them into having an attachment to the financial results so that they understand the value of really analyzing what approach to take and measuring the results they're getting?
Well, when I first talk to anybody, like, you know, I'm trying to think of someone specific so I can be anchored to one, like an actual human. Usually they bring it up pretty quickly. Even though they have a mission, they do bring up, here's what I'd like to do with this. And if they don't bring up any kind of goal, I usually start right away asking them, well, how many people do you want to reach? Are you thinking about selling this? Or is this, you know, I start talking about the money part of it really quickly just so I can, you know, see where their head is at as far as their idea. And most people aren't too far away. Like, even though I say that their initial passion is because of their mission, I feel like they know that if their mission is received well, that there will be some monetary gain from that. So, but we get right into that right away, and I just start nailing, kind of going through this inventory of what they already have in place, and that includes like, do you have customers already? Do you have clients already? Do you have a list? Do you have subscribers? All of these like people. And I take inventory of their people, basically. And then we talk about what the reality is and how many more people they are going to have to reach in order to potentially have that chance of making the money or reaching the goals that they want to. So I hope that makes sense. I get right into the inventory and the goals right away because for me, I get excited about their vision, but I'm immediately in like pieces mode, like what's it going to take to get here? How many, like I want to know how many people they currently have on their list because then I know how realistic they are, where they are in their own thought process about the launch.
Is there a typical size that you're starting with?
Yeah. Gosh, I can't say there is, honestly.
Oh, okay.
I do have some people that are not in Fearless Launching that have very established businesses, have like, if there's like a list size that have like 20,000 plus people on their list, but have recurring revenue in other areas that are established. But as far as the people who come into Fearless Launching, I think that many of them may have launched something before, do have some sort of consulting one-on-one business happening, but maybe it's just not at the level that they want it to be. And it definitely is all the Fearless Launchers, I would say there's a mix between people who have launched no problem and they just want to refine their process, and there's people that have never launched before and still need to kind of figure out what their launch process is going to be.
Very interesting. Now, you do work with accelerators or the businesses that have gotten themselves launched by being in accelerators, don't you?
Well, that's the plan for this year. But yeah, that is the plan because the co-working space that I told you about, they really are trying to make themselves create this accelerator environment where they have lots of different resources for the startups that go in that become members of the space. So yes, that is part of the plan for this year, and I'm really excited about it because I know that there will be more than just online entrepreneurs. There will be, you know, people with a mix of platforms where they exist.
Right, and all of them need the step-by-step guidance in order to leverage their thinking, leverage their resources in order to get those launches executed really well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, they need the step-by-step, but sometimes what I find with the people who actually I just, you know, speak to one-on-one or I work with on an ongoing basis, generally they have good ideas. They understand the schedule, but they have anybody sitting back there with them looking at the big vision and looking at all the stuff that needs to get done and kind of being that glue, being another them in their seat. There have been people that have they're able to look at the vision, they're able to see the tasks, but for some reason there's a disconnect with like moving those tasks forward, getting them into the right people's hands, making sure people are actually doing the work, making sure that everything is going in the direction of the actual launch. And so sometimes I will just go in and just kind of look at their big plan, ask them questions. Maybe we'll decide that they need another person in one area, help them hire someone. And it could be as simple as me doing that. Or someone who has a launch plan, like a big, really big, I don't know, like a Google Doc or even just a big whiteboard, and they want to talk me through it and see if they covered everything.
Right, so it's everything it could be, being a sounding board to actually being that expert brain that helps solve something very specifically.
Yeah, or like with I recently worked like last fall with Jonathan Fields and he's an author, and he has never done an info product, and he created an online training program called Revolution U last fall. I worked with him on that launch in a very bizarre role for myself because he's launched books, he's launched year-long mastermind programs. He knows launching. He knows marketing. So my role wasn't for strategy, really. I really just kept him moving, and I was his boss for the duration. And I'm working on something else with him right now, but that's what role he needs filled. And so yeah, sounding board, you know, strategy, and sometimes just like the glue to keep that person moving.
It's so
Which
vital.
A very odd role to be in.
It's so vital, especially when there's an activity that's got so many moving parts like a launch has.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I find like I'm just like a traffic director most of the time in the launches because he's even got a team doing all the back end setup and helping him put together the actual course. You know, he's not alone already. So I'm kind of just hustling, making sure, looking over everything, making sure nothing is forgotten, because if he tries to do it himself, he gets a little bit, you know, going from vision to task back to vision is a really difficult.
Yeah, it can be a little schizophrenic.
Yes, maybe that's why I do it well. No, I'm kidding.
It's true. So I'd love to share with people the Fearless Launching Program. And for our listeners, if they go to bbdnow.com/fearless, you'll be able to see all of the information of the program. And let's talk about what Fearless Launching as a program consists of.
Fearless Launching is 6 weeks program, and it goes from we start with the overview of the launch process in its biggest kind of form, even if you don't use all those pieces of that process. But it, it starts with a very general overview, which if you're ready to launch right now, you just watch module one and just get going. And then the rest of the course goes into what a woman helped me kind of structure this, and she's like, oh, so these are your five big bleeders of a launch. This is where things can break down. I'm like, oh, big bleeders. That sounds really horrible, but I love it. But it really does. It goes through your offer. It goes through the systems that need to be set up before you launch. It talks about the schedule. There is a scheduling module, how to like put together the big master schedule for your launch. And then there's 1 week where we focus on partnerships, not just people who are going to be affiliate or promotional partners, but the people who are on your team. So that covers team, affiliates, and emotional support too. And then the last module is about launch communication and outreach, which is really probably the heaviest module. But by the time we get there, you feel like, you pretty much have your launch set up, and then it's all about figuring out how you're going to communicate that to your audience. And it's really hard for me to call it an online course because it's also this, there's a thriving Facebook community that hopefully I'm going to change a little bit this year to make it easier for the community to grow. Maybe not even on Facebook, not sure yet, but it feels more like a mastermind, honestly, because sure, there's the course, people ask questions, la, 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 in the Facebook group, but what happens is people launch, they tell their launch story. They say what worked, what didn't work. And it's a really great environment because you can tell people what didn't work. Well, that didn't work. Here's my burnt pancake, guys. Here's what I did. And here's what did not work at all. Or, we talk about everything from new releases of tools that people are trying to use for their launch but that aren't working, or ones that are working amazing. And it's really, I just like it because there's an honesty in there. It's all about the launch. And for someone like for week five of the program that really goes into the partners, for people who don't have partners, all of a sudden you have partners.
You have a whole community.
And you can find team members in there too. There are a few launch managers who are in the program, and there are definitely people who do like graphic design and things like that as well. So
very cool. And
yeah,
and I'd love to talk with you about having that course become a part of what I'm doing with the Breakthrough Academy, because as I said earlier, there are certain things that I do want to do when I roll out of bed, and there are certain things that I know are vital parts of building a really thriving and sustainable business that can grow to the next level. And it would be very cool to partner up with you and say, how do we provide this to people when they're ready? So very cool.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I love this. I love being able to, if there's one thing I could say about Fearless Launching, and I know that you should deliver people what they want, which they want to know how to do it. But what people need, and this is really like the underlying thing about Fearless Launching, and that is people need to stop using other people's launch systems. They need to develop their own and start working on that as a system that evolves over time. So I always encourage people to do even their free opt-in as a launch, because it's low pressure. You just are looking for more people, more exposure, and you can use the same process for every single launch that you do. And over time, it becomes something that you can't take from a swipe file or a blueprint. You've created that yourself. So
right, and
I
it's
hope for
directly
people.
Related to your business, and it's been tested for what's working with your audience.
With your business, exactly. You're not taking someone – I get so frustrated when people take other people's blueprints and then they wonder why it didn't work. And it's because it wasn't made for your business. It was made for someone else's.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter that it might be targeting the same audience or be in a similar industry. It's still not designed for your specific business.
That's right.
Very interesting. One of the questions in the back of my mind is, are there natural time spans people should assume they need to plan and build in when they're doing launches? You know, so the run-up to actually executing the launch, should that, is there a certain amount of time they should assume that ought to take? And then how much time is spent in the launch communications, executing that launch and so on?
Well, I think people should first understand that I really focus a lot of attention and time on the who the offer is for and making sure that it's a wanted offer. And so that's the hard part is people ask, how long do I need to launch? Well, it depends. If people don't know who you are, then you're going to need a lot of lead time to build your list, build your audience, and start making sure that there's some interaction back and forth or an increase in interaction over a period of time. So I like to say that if you've got an audience that wants what you have and you know it and you've talked to them and you know them, they're like friends practically, that's how well you know them, then it really can just take, a couple months, to like 6 weeks. And I know people want to hear, how can I launch next week? But it's just not possible unless you're someone who has, the more tightly bound to your audience you are, the more of a relationship with you have, the last time you need to ramp up to that, to start telling people it's coming, to let them know what is coming. Sometimes you need way more time to get in the mode of, oh, wait, she's selling something or she's offering something to me. For communication, my main kind of thing that I like to stick to, even myself, is how can I make sure that my launch messaging just sticks kind of mostly in my normal communication? So I don't want to start emailing my list 5 times a week during my launch. So I try to keep it really, really consistent, really respectful, and maybe add 1 or 2 more than normal. But I always tell people, use what you're already doing. If you don't have an email list, fine. If you're mostly on Facebook, you better start talking about it on Facebook then. Start sharing what you're doing. So sticking with your normal communication paths is, I think, the way to go instead of trying to like build new ones right before a launch where no one's even there. Let's say you have a show like this. This is your platform to talk to people. So find a way to either do more of what you're doing or do it more consistently. Start, if all you had was a blog talk radio show, for instance, you might want to start doing bumpers on the beginning and end or mention it throughout your shows. Mention what you're offering. And I think that's the easiest way to start doing the communication for a launch. But I wish I could give you a timeline, really, but 6 weeks seems to be the least amount of time.
I'm so glad that you shared that because over the years, I've tried to communicate that to people, and there's such a tone of disappointment when they hear, no, really, 6 weeks? Like, yeah, because, it is all about relationship. And so, first of all, you need to have a relationship with your prospective customer or client in the first place.
Right.
And if you don't, then you might as well just be flinging spaghetti against the wall and hoping that whoever just happens to walk by wants spaghetti. Instead, it's, like you said, figure out what you'll do consistently in order to be in relationship with people. And
that's
then
right.
Integrate into that cycle, that pattern, that sequence, that rhythm, the offering that's coming, and then when it's coming, the fact that it's there. It's really important.
Now, as far as like timeline and stuff goes, I mean, just to give you an idea, like Marie Forleo has a very large audience online. She has a huge audience. Laura Roeder does too. And when they together you think, oh, well, that audience must have been a monolith by the time we did the first two B-schools, like the first B-school. But they were working on it. They were talking to people about being promotional partners and affiliates like 6 months in advance. So it doesn't happen overnight. We didn't start developing B-School 6 weeks before it launched. We were already working way before that. And even the second round, once the program had been out one time, we still started about 6 months ahead, figuring out when, what the schedule was going to be, how we were going to lead up to it, who would potentially be, what we were going to do for affiliates for the program. So it can take quite a bit of time.
And it
Even
ought to. It's business.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called business.
I mean, there are ways to do shorter launches and shorter turnaround launches, like, but they're smaller. They're not going to be – they're more like – they're what I call ninja-style launches, where if you do have – even if it's a small group of people, but you have a relationship with them. They expect your communication. Getting used to another kind of way to, like, maybe not fast-track a launch, but start making mini offers to them soon, getting them to respond to you, whether it's, hey, tell me what you blah, 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 hit reply on this email. Get them to reply to you, then start, you know, maybe you have a consulting package and you want to just offer five or six of them. Start making those mini offers before you do your big, you know, the mission offer, the bigger mission offer. And work your way up to it. It doesn't just happen overnight, for sure.
I think that's one of the things that internet-based marketing and communication has falsely instilled in people's minds is, well, it costs so much less and it's, quote, so much easier to do that it ought to be something that just happens so much faster. But it doesn't. It's still about, it's just vehicles for human connection and human relationship building.
That's right. That is so true. So true.
And that takes time. Now, the Fearless Launching program, is it always delivered as a live program, or is it also available for people to do at their own pace and then join the Facebook community and so on?
Right now, it is just a live program that I usually open 2 times a year, but I am considering this year changing that a little bit. So it may be off. It may be available off season, kind of as a DIY, do-it-yourself version.
Cool.
But I still like having some live element to it, like, you know, like live community calls or something like that, to keep people engaged and in the group with each other and chatting the whole time.
Sure. So no matter when people are listening to our conversation, they can go to bbdnow.com/fearless and see when it's being offered. Right now it's being offered. It's going live in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
That's right. Actually, the class starts next Monday, but I'm being nice this time around. I'm leaving a few extra days for people to jump in. But don't make people jumping in too much further than that first week, just because otherwise you just get hit with more overwhelmed, which is generally why people come in the first place.
Sure, and I love the fact that you're offering it a couple of times a year, because that means that people who are still in the stage of conceptualizing what it is that they want to do know that they can keep checking back and find when the next one's being offered, including the one that you may adapt and make more do-it-yourself.
Yep, that's right.
Very cool. So do you have any gems that you want people to have in mind when they're thinking about taking their specialty, their expertise, and taking it into that next stage of business that they want to launch?
I think this is from personal experience. I think the thing you have to start doing is make whatever your specialty, like your mission on your, if you're blogging about it, if you're talking about it, make yourself a broken record, because that's, even though now I'm like, oh my gosh, how many more launch articles can I possibly write on my blog? But it has solidified in many people's minds that that's what I talk about. That's what I teach about. And that is the easiest way to get people to remember who you are. Just keep talking about it over and over and over again.
I love it. It's sort of like, tell them what you're going to tell them and tell them what you told them, and just keep telling them.
I love that. That is a tweetable. That
there we go.
Tweetable.
Well, since you're doing more tweeting than I am, go ahead and tweet it.
Okay, but now I have to remember it. So I have to remember to tell them. Okay, I'll have to remember to tweet. Okay.
Okay, now what was that? It was, tell them what you're going to tell them. tell them what you told them, and keep telling them.
I love
His
that.
Wisdom.
Love that.
Oh, Anne, thank you so much for making this such a great conversation and a great show. I so appreciate your being with us on Breakthrough Directions today.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much, and I hope we can chat soon.
Absolutely. And everyone, thank you. And go back and listen again and go to bbdnow.com/fearless if you've got something you're ready to launch now.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.